Morning. So last time I was standing up here, I was a senior in high school, and Nate Hamblin, my youth pastor, had talked me into coming to speak on Youth Sunday. So that's the last time I've stood up here. I've been up there, but last time I've stood here to speak, and that lasted, I think, about 7 minutes. So hopefully this one goes a little bit longer than that, and hopefully I can share a little bit more than 7 minutes worth. But I've done it twice so far, so I think I can do it again. I want to jump right into this. I feel like I have a lot to say, and only so long to say it in. And so I kind of want to just dive right into it. And so if you could all turn with me to Psalm 13. So we are covering the Psalms during Kurt's sabbatical next year, and so I'm going to kind of kick it off with the Psalm that has stuck with me recently, in Psalm 13. And if you don't have a Bible, we'll have it up here as well. I'll go ahead and read it out loud. So verse 1, and we're just going to read the first 4 verses for right now, and there's 6 of them, but we'll just leave those last 2 for now. So verse 1 says, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall." So this psalm, it comes from David. So he's talking here, and he's asking God, where are you right now? So it's sad. It's a sad start of a chapter in the psalm, and he's wondering, where God is and in his life at that moment. And so when I think about something like that, when I read something like that, I think to myself, all right, have I ever felt like that before? Have I ever questioned, where God, where are you? And spoiler alert, I have felt like this before. So for those of you who don't know my story, that's probably where that comes from. And I'll tell that all in just a second. But a little bit of a background about myself. As Andy mentioned earlier, I grew up in this church, so I've been here, all my life. I've moved for school and things like that, but I've come back, and I've been here for about 3 years in Fort Wayne. Used to sit where you guys are at. I was, in the youth group, and actually, we used to sit, right here, and so it changed a little bit, but yeah, so I've been, I've in the youth group and, growing up in the church. So growing up in the church, though, you're taught, many lessons, and you're taught, just all sorts of lessons. And one of the lessons that I want to talk about today is the lesson that that God doesn't give me more than I can handle. And so how many of you guys have heard that? Raise your hand if you've heard that. God doesn't give me more than I can handle. Yeah, we're all familiar with that phrase, that God doesn't give me more than I can handle. And so I've never really thought too much about that phrase. I've never really thought too deeply into it. I'm just like, okay, well, God doesn't give me more than I can handle. And keep going on. But today I kind of want to dive into that. I kind of want to look into why, I want to look into that phrase of God doesn't give us more than what we can handle. And it comes from, and you don't need to turn here, I'm just going to kind of quickly read through it, and we'll talk about it for a second. The phrase comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 13, he says, this is Paul talking to the church of Corinth, he says, "But remember that the temptations that come into your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you will not give in to it." So what he's saying here, he's really based this this passage in particular is really just, I mean, he's referring to temptation. You know, he's talking about temptation. And while I don't want to get into too much into the temptation itself, you know, him referring to that, well, I do actually, you know, absolutely believe that it has its place in what I'm talking about today. I don't want to get into that portion of it too much. But really just, I want to say that, you know, this passage is sort of where it comes from. You know, God doesn't give us more than what we can handle. And so, you know, that's kind of how it's kind of broadened into that phrase. And so, yeah, I've always believed that. And, you know, I've never really thought too much about it, you know, that God's not going to give me more than what I can handle on my own, you know, handle myself. And up until January, I've believed that. And I've believed that God's not going to give me more than I can handle. And I can say right now that I don't believe that anymore. I don't believe that God's going to give me more than what I can handle. So don't hear me out and don't get up and leave and be like, where's Kurt? Because I want to explain myself and I want to explain why I don't believe that. So back to my story. So, you know, past 3 years or so, I've moved back to Fort Wayne the past 3 years, got a job in Fort Wayne, and life's been great. I've got checking everything off the list, you know, just bought a house, got a great job. I have two beautiful white dogs, Luke and Lizzie. I had a picture up here that I was going to put up, but then I realized that I'm probably going to be talking about them too much if I have them up there, and that's kind of what I'm doing right now anyway. So life has been going really well. You know, I fell in love, and I'm married the woman of my dreams, and So we were engaged last August, and I'm looking for you for confirmation, but I know we were engaged last August. So set to be married in July, and things were just going, you know, just great, and you know, like what could go wrong, right? So about a year and a half ago or so, I noticed this lump in my throat. I was at work, and I started feeling this, you know, feeling for a few days of, you know, like that feeling when you swallow and you're really nervous, and that phrase when they say, I got a lump in my throat, when you're nervous. And, you know, like, to be honest, that's really what it felt like. It just felt like I had this, like, nervous lump in my throat, and I was like, well, I'm not nervous for days on end. So I started noticing this little lump in my neck, and like just could physically or visually see it. And so I was like, well, that's probably not good. So we should probably go check that out. And went and checked it out, and got it checked out, and the doctor said it looked fine. You got it tested, and everything looked good, and they weren't worried. And so they just said, you know, we'll just keep an eye on it. And so, you know, that's what we did. I didn't worry about it too much, and it just kept an eye on it, really, to be honest. And so this past January, I was going in for my next checkup. So at that point, it had gotten a little bit bigger, and we went to go see a different doctor this time around. And but we didn't really think anything of it. You know, it had gotten a little bit bigger, but it gotten quite a bit bigger. But we weren't really that worried because we were told not to be worried. You know, things are fine. My parents and I and Wendy, we were all in the doctor's office kind of joking around, you know, just, having a good time. And the doctor comes in, he's really serious. And he's like, and we weren't expecting this, but, you know, he said, Chris, you probably have cancer. Just out of nowhere, not expecting it at all, I'm given this this news that, you know, like my life's literally being put on the line. You know, I was not expecting cancer to come out of his mouth at all. So I have to say that at that moment, I was the most scared that I've ever been in my entire life. It wasn't easy. I felt lost, and I felt like, this is happening to me. And, you know, I felt lost, and I felt, you know, alone, even though my whole family was around me. Like, I felt alone, and I remember telling Wendy on our way back to Fort Wayne, we were in the car, and I was like, and I literally said this. I said, I don't see any good that can come out of this. And I remember saying that. And I just felt like God had given me more than what I could handle. I really did. I felt like I was just completely overwhelmed. You know, that God gave me more than I could handle. And so I know that I'm not the only person that has felt like this before. You know, I know that I'm not alone in feeling this. I wasn't alone in feeling it at that time. I know there's a lot of people out there that feel like they're just overwhelmed and that God's given them more than they can handle. And I know some of you guys out there right now probably have these feelings of God's giving you more than you can handle. Maybe you're being bullied at school, or they're like in 1 Corinthians where he talks, you know, that maybe there's a temptation out there that, you know, God, you feel like God's giving you more than you can handle. Maybe you've been diagnosed with an illness, or, you know, maybe you've lost a loved one, or you're, you know, in a struggling relationship right now, or something. You know, there's so many different things that that could be going on with you right now that that you're feeling like God has given me more than I can handle. The thing is, though, is that there's a lot of people in here, actually, that where God has given them more than they can handle. And I want to talk about one of those right now, of somebody who's been given more than he can handle, and it's Paul. So I just talked about Paul a second ago. You know, he's been, he was the one talking about, you know, the temptation. So if you guys all want to turn to your Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. So Paul has been through a lot, and just to kind of set the scene a little bit. So in chapter 11, you don't need to turn to chapter 11, but in chapter 11, he talks about so many of the things that he's been through. You know, he literally lists like a paragraph or two of all the things that he's been through. You know, he's been beaten with rods. He's been given 39 lashes 5 different times by the Jews. And, you know, he's been shipwrecked 3 or 4 times. And, like, he literally lists all these things, and the list just goes on and on and on. And, like, and so Paul has clearly been at a point before, you know, where he's saying, man, I am overwhelmed right now. Like, this is a lot. And so in 2 Corinthians, he talks about this, about his feelings when he was feeling overwhelmed and the things that was going through his mind. So we'll go ahead and just read this together. So verse 8, he starts out and he says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. In verse 9, he says, "Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." So this idea that Paul is just, like, he's been through all of these things. Like, he's been through, you know, being whipped, being shipwrecked. He was stranded day and night in a shipwreck. And, you know, he's been through a lot. And he says here that he's been to the point where he's despaired of life itself. Despair of life itself, when you look it up in the New Living Translation version, he said, "We thought we would never live through it." So, like, he actually thought that he was going to lose his life. Like, he even says in the next verse, he says, we felt we had received the sentence of death. So Paul felt like he was going to die. He felt that God gave him this sentence that he's just like, okay, well, you know, like, this is your time. Your time has come, and here it is. You know, so he has felt like God has given him more than he can handle, and Paul has given God more than he can handle. And he does the same for all of us. You know, he gives us more than what we can handle. And he did the same for me when, you know, he allowed me to have cancer. He gave me more than what I could handle. So back to my story, you know, I'd just been diagnosed with cancer. And so literally the first things that come out of Wendy's mouth are, well, we're getting married. So rather than run the opposite way, Wendy decides that she's going to run with me. And, she's been my rock through this whole thing. She said, well, we're getting married. And we got married 2.5 weeks later. We convinced Kurt to do it within 2.5 weeks. So probably the quickest wedding you've ever given. We got married February 7th, and then February 11th is when I started my first chemotherapy treatment. So 4 days after my wedding date, I was at the hospital getting my first treatment. So I went from started this high and then just dropped down to this low really fast. And I mean, I'll be honest with you, chemotherapy wasn't easy. It was one of the hardest things that I would say that I've ever been through. Kurt's been talking a lot recently about the power of prayer and us being a praying church. And I want to say, kind of take a side note to say that I just wish I could echo that a million different times, because the power of prayer is phenomenal. And I just want to thank all of you guys from the bottom of my heart. The prayer that we received from this church was just more than we could ever imagine. You know, the prayers, the cards, the visits, the meals, just everything just meant the world to us. And I hate that I can't individually thank every single person that said a prayer for me or sent me a card, but there were so many, and we're just beyond thankful for all of that. Man, just overwhelming. And I know I've used that word a few times this service so far, but we felt just very, very thankful for all of you. And so the power of prayer truly does work, because we would have not gotten through it without you guys praying for us. Absolutely not. But so I was talking to one person during all of this, and I apologize, I don't remember who it was, but they told me that, you know, this phrase of God doesn't give us more than what we can handle. And then they went on and said, that phrase should actually be rephrased into God doesn't give us more than what he can handle. So I had to think about that for a second, you know, because I've always thought God doesn't give us more than what I can handle, and now I'm being told God doesn't give us more than what he can handle. And that's huge. Like, that's a huge difference. And I'm like I felt like my mind was just blown. Like that is huge, and I don't know why I never thought about that before. It's not about what I can handle. It's about what God can handle. God's given me more than I can handle. He's allowed me to have this cancer, and then that's not for me to handle. It's for God to handle. And so it's a phrase that I kept having to remind myself of throughout all my treatments, because it's a powerful thing. But if I'm being told that, you know, that God doesn't give us more than what he can handle, then why does he do that? You know, why does he give us more than we can handle? Why does he bring us to the point where we are despairing of life? Or, you know, why did I have this cancer? And I want to focus back on that verse 9 in 2 Corinthians in chapter 1, where Paul says, he said, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. This happens because if we're, you know, at a point where we just we can't take anything more, and God's given us all of this, then we have to lean on him. We can't do it ourselves. I can't battle cancer by myself. Like, that doesn't make sense. And so he gives us that, so we learn not to rely on ourselves, but on him instead. And so, you know, I felt like I was at a point of my life where I'm just like, you know, this, my life is amazing. You know, like I said, I've got all these check marks on the list, you know, like I'm doing it all like I'm supposed to. And there must have been a point in there somewhere, and I didn't say these words out loud, but you know, there must have been a point where I'm like, oh, I don't need God then. You know, I didn't think that, or I didn't, you know, say that out loud, but like, it must have gotten to that point, you know, where I felt like I didn't need him because, you know, my life is just going so well. And so like when my life is finally put on the line, you know, I learn to trust him instead. And it's a hard concept to grasp. I mean, like, so like what does it look like to trust God? And you know, that's naturally the next question that comes, you know, well, if he's doing this, and he's doing this so we have to trust him, well then, you know, what does it look like to trust him? And I've said this before, like I think that could be like an entire series. You know, I don't want to get too deep into that. I told Carl already, there's your next series. You know, that's it could be like an entire series of what it looks like to trust God. But I can tell you what it looked like for me to trust God, and I think it could look differently for everybody. But to trust God for me, it meant, you know, no one, like I didn't need to worry about, you know, what was going to happen the next day in the doctor's office, or my next treatment, you know, like how I was going to feel the next day, or, you know, if I was going to be able to work or anything like that, you know, or like why my hair is all gone and everything. I didn't need to worry about all that stuff anymore because I was putting that on him and saying, all right, God, you can take care of this. Like, you know, I'm just along for the ride. And, you know, I think that's what trust looked like to me. Excuse me. So let's go, let's turn back to Psalm 13. Excuse me. Excuse me. So back to Psalm 13, though. So I want to turn back there. And so, like I said, the first four verses, he's asking where God is. You know, he's saying, well, where are you, God? Like, you know, what's going on? But then if you add these last two verses, I'll just go ahead and read through the whole thing again. I'll just say, so starting in verse 1, he says, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes where I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. And then he adds, these last two verses, he adds on in verse 5 of rejoicing. He says, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. So God is, or so this is, so this is David speaking, and so he's saying that, you know what, I don't know if I necessarily see you in this moment. Like, you know, this isn't going according to my plan, but I'm going to trust in you. And these last two verses, he says, I'm going to sing the Lord's praise, for he's been good to me. He has given David more than what David can handle. And so he's saying that he's going to rejoice, and he's going to sing the Lord's praise because he's given more than David can handle, but not more than what God can handle. And I think that's, I honestly think that's why he's rejoicing right then, even though he's going through this tough time. And, he's going to rejoice regardless. So I think that's what I want to come away with this, you know, is, God's giving me more than what I can handle, but he's not giving me more than what he can handle. And so, when I think about that, and when we first spoke with Kurt after I was first diagnosed with cancer, Winnie and I were sitting down with him, and I remember him telling me, he said, you know, and down the road you may look back and say, and be thankful for this cancer. And Winnie and I were like, what? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, why would we be thankful for this cancer, you know? That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But as we started, you know, going through our journey, you know, we started realizing, holy cow, there's a lot of good things that are coming out of this, you know, like, My relationship with my wife has improved tenfold. You know, a lot of people have said, you know, what a way to start out a marriage. This cancer, it has brought us closer together, to be honest. And, you know, it's improved my relationship with my family, and it's improved my relationship with many of you out there in this church. But most of all, my relationship with God it's gotten real, really fast. And, I had to realize, you know, what was important. And so we learned early on, and we still say this today, that as weird as it sounds, we are thankful for this cancer. So, I don't know if you've all heard yet, but as of 2 or 3 weeks ago, or 4 weeks, I don't know, I have been declared cancer-free. thank you. Thank you. And so, thank you. I understand that, you know, not everything like that ends in that manner. You know, I understand that, there's sometimes out there that it doesn't end the way that you're planning on it to end, or that you hope it ends. But just know that God, you know, He has a plan, and it's good. No matter whatever it is, it's good. And if you realize, you know, that there are things that you're going to go through, or things that you're going through right now that you can't handle, if you put it in His hands, I honestly believe that it'll be good. So I'm more than happy to stay after church. You know, if any of you want to talk, or you know, anything, if you want me to pray for you, I'd be more than happy to. But let's go ahead and pray right now, if you will. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today, Lord. Thank you for your grace, and just thank you that, you know, even though there's times where, you know, we just feel overwhelmed and feel like there's no way out, Lord, you know that there's a way out, and it's through you, and that even though you give us more than what we can handle, it's not more than what you can handle. And just remind us of that, and remind us that whatever plan you have in place for all of us, it's good. Bless today and bless our weeks, Lord. Thank you for a place that we can come and worship you and with freedom. And just thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.